you're actually serving people. And the practical outworking, I'm a prayer, I'm a seeker of God, I've done that for a long time. But at the end of the day, His heart beats for people. And if you're not making a difference in people's lives, then you want to have a chat to Him about that, because there are people's lives that you can make a great difference to. I'm going to speak to you just for a short while, maybe 15 or 20 minutes today. It's a short message, but a sharp one, on the power of a dream. Everyone say, dream on. The power of a dream. Dreams, we're going to talk over the next few weeks, actually, on the power of visions and dreams. But I just really want to inspire you this morning about how powerful dreaming and having a vision is. One of the truths that for some is a little uncomfortable, but we have to face it, is the fact that whatever level of life we are enjoying right now, or not enjoying right now, ultimately has come down to us. It's the level of life that you settled for. And you can only have a different level of life if you decide on the inside of you that you want a different level of life. You'd be amazed at how many things can change just by making a decision and saying, I've had enough of that. I'm tired of being that kind of person. I'm tired of not believing in myself. I'm tired of feeling hemmed in by everybody else and feeling like what they want is dominating my life. You can make a decision and you can change your life. And that's the awesome power that God gave you. I think sometimes Christians have a kind of a funny idea that, you know, if things are going to change, God's going to change them. And it's almost like we take the hands off the wheel of the car of our lives and just assume that God is going to supernaturally come and drive our lives right into the will of God. It doesn't work like that. He made you much more important than that. He made you much more significant than that. He didn't make you a puppet. He made you someone just a little bit, and I'm quoting the Bible, just a little bit lower than Himself. You're a lot like God. There's a couple of differences. You look just about as good as Him. You're wonderfully made in His image. And in the same way that He runs heaven, which is running pretty smoothly, He made us to run earth. And there are bits of earth that are running well, and there are other bits of earth that aren't running so well. There's wars, there's poverty, there's heartbreak. And you know, it's easy, and I understand why some people say, well, why does God let that happen? But it's not a difficult question to answer, really. God put us in charge. What we let happen is what happens. And actually, if we'll ask Him for strength or a dream or a vision, then we can bring the change. We are looking here, Carrie and I, to raise up a great company of men and women that want to change our communities and change people's lives. And my privilege and my honor is to lead that company. But we want as many people to jump in and run with us as possible, because the more we do that, the more we bring change. It's perfectly possible that the whole of Staines becomes aware of the love of God. It's happened before. It's not even new. You know, anyone heard of Wales? It's my wife's favourite rugby team. You need to pray for, what's his name? Lee Halfpenny, who's our superstar kicker, fullback, who went down with an injury yesterday. Dear Lord, we just ask you to bring speedy healing to Lee's leg, and help him kick the winning goal almost against Australia. Well, Wales, see, what you might or might not know is just about 100 years ago, 1904, so 111 years ago, people probably not as good looking as you, certainly not as educated as you, asked God to move in Wales. They had the same kind of heart. There was a young man called Evan Roberts, very young. There were a few others. And God heard their cries, and the whole of Wales, South Wales in particular, the whole of Wales changed. In 6 months, get this now, in Staines we have about 50,000 people. In 6 months, the records will show, you can read the books, 100,000 people in 6 months gave their lives to Jesus. It's a fact. The whole place, when people would walk down the streets, people would fall, they used to ride horses then, and especially in Wales, you know, over in England they had cars, but back in Wales, I'm joking. And people would, and you can see the records, you can read it, people would fall off their horses in the middle of the street because the presence of God was so strong. The police force that were there to control, it's all in the history books, that were control misbehavior and all that, had nothing to do because nobody was misbehaving because people's lives had got right with God. In those days, the pits were the most common, or one of the most common forms of, you know, the Welsh miners. And the Welsh miners had what they called pit ponies that would carry the coal out of the mines. And because all these people had an experience with God, they got connected with God in this supernatural way, their language changed. The normal kind of expletives that they were so used to using in the mines changed. This is, you can all read it all. Changed so much that when they went to give instructions to the pit ponies, they didn't understand what they were told to do because they were talking so differently. Shops would close. They're all in business. They'd close at 2 or 3 in the afternoon because there's going to be a meeting and we're going to worship God. And they would sing. There's some songs that some folks still sing today. That go, yep, like Here Is Love, which is a great song that has its roots back in that. God is awesome. And He can do anything. And I want to share just this brief moment, you know, a few minutes we have, to inspire you about having a dream and having a vision. Because the greatest way for your life to change is through the embracing of a vision or a dream. The level of life you've got, like I said, is because that's what you've settled for. But rather than, and sometimes we've grown up in a culture or in a family like this where we've kind of almost felt pushed by fear and demanded that we have to live this certain level. And God really doesn't work like that. God is highly inspirational. And one of the main ways He communicates with people is through visions and through dreams. So what is a dream or a vision? It's a mental picture of something that you wish for in the future. It's the ability to see in your mind's eye something that exists before it does exist. I'll say it again. It's a mental picture, a vision, a dream. It's the dream I'm talking about, not the kind that you wake up from at 3:30 in the morning. A mental picture of something you wish for. To dream is the ability to see things in your mind's eye before they exist in the natural realm. And dreams are a creative force. I'll quote you a couple of people. When God spoke to Abraham, there's a great guy in the Old Testament called Abraham, and he walked with God, he had this relationship with God, and God wanted to give him a whole piece of property. It's kind of the roots of Israel. And he was with his nephew called Lot. And God said, well, separate from him, because Lot didn't have the same vision and sense of vision that Abraham did. So God kind of pulled Abraham aside, led him up a hill, and he said, look out to the north, the south, the east, and the west. He said, whatever you can see, I'll give you. And there's a principle there. Whatever you can see, you can have. Another guy put it like this, and this is a human that's alive today, and he's fairly qualified because he came from a tough background in a country called Korea. And he was injured in the war. He hated the Japanese. He went to Bible college and failed. and he decided he would start a church because that's what he wanted to do, and he went to the very poorest part of town where nobody else went. He had no money to start a church, so he borrowed a tent from a friend that was in the army. It was like an army tent, and they just had no real doors. There were a lot of very poor people, but he worked with that. He built that. He wrote a book about how this whole thing works called The Fourth Dimension, talking about faith and visions and dreams. And he now leads after, and he started that in 1959, I think, or 58. And he now leads the largest church that anyone ever has known about in the history of the earth. Yongyi Cho, you might have heard of him. Bristol, we were recently in Bristol, and Bristol is about 500,000 people, the whole of Bristol, 500,000 people. This one church in Korea, one church, has 700,000 people in it. One church, bigger than Bristol. You want to know what he said about vision? Anyone interested? I kind of figure he's probably pretty qualified. He said, "You show me your vision, and I'll show you your future." What you see on the inside of you, that mental picture of your life, that's what your life is going to become. You're a self-fulfilling prophecy, whether you realize it or not. And if you see yourself on the inside struggling financially, you have trouble seeing yourself successful, then you are going to struggle financially. And you can blame the economy, but there are people that have succeeded in a messy economy. And you can blame somebody else, but there are people with bigger disadvantages than you've got that have made a mark. See, it's not the outside that determines what your life becomes. It's the dream on the inside. And the ability to have a dream, to have a vision. I've got so many stories about it, but I'll tell you just one of them. A lady called Wilma Rudolph. I love this story. Has anyone ever heard of Wilma Rudolph? She was an American girl, African-American, and she grew up. She was born prematurely, I think in 1940, 2 kilos, so 4.5 pounds. She was the 20th of 22 children. Her father was a railway porter and her mother was a maid. She got paralysis via polio at the age of 4. She got through it, but she had to wear a leg brace all her life, well, they said all her life, until she was 9. She was so determined that she wasn't going to wear this leg brace that she actually, when she was in the doctor's meeting room and they would tell her that this was going to be the way it was, she just went home and took it off and just forced herself. Because she had a dream of doing something with her life. And even though everything was yelling against her, it can't be done, she actually eventually, by the age, I think, of 11, had stopped walking with a brace. But she had to have special shoes made. But her sisters loved basketball, or one of the 21 others. And so she decided she was going to play basketball. So she's out there on the basketball court. It's a true story. You can read it in the history books. Wilma Rudolph. She's out there on the basketball court. And even though she's struggling because her leg isn't the same, she's just working with it. She's got a dream. She's got a vision. She sees on the inside a life that has significance, which is what I want you to see for you. And as it happens, an athletics coach, because she was, I think, 5'10" or 5'11" in the end, an athletics coach in that area, which is in Tennessee, saw her on the basketball court, and because he had an eye for that, he thought this girl's got natural talent as a runner. So he approached her, even though she'd had polio and couldn't walk normally, and he began to train her. And Wilma turned out to be a really fast runner. So Wilma then started going to the local state races and won. This girl with polio, with a dream. So then they approached the national team. She gets selected, get this, she gets selected for the U.S. Olympic running team for sprinting. A girl with polio. A girl that everyone said, there's no way this is going to happen. Now get this. Then she goes in 1960. The Olympics were in Tokyo, Rome, 1960. And Wilma Rudolph ran the 100, the 200, and the 4x100, and is the first woman in history to win 3 Olympic gold medals in the same Olympics. What a story. But she had polio. And they said, you are going to have a brace for the rest of your life. You will never walk like a normal person. See, adversity and fear will try and tell you that it can't be done. But God sent me to this beautiful country called England, which I love. And I've come all the way from Australia to tell you this, that God believes in you, that God's got a dream for you. That I didn't leave behind everything I left, all the warm weather and all the sunny beaches and everything like that. I didn't come from there. I came for one reason, and that was to bring God and His message to the people of England because He loves them so much. He believes in them. And I want to raise up a whole army of wonderful, beautiful British people that touch other people's lives, that start to have a dream, that start to believe that just because we had a tough start or this didn't go wrong or that didn't work out, that we can't have a great life. You can live a great dream. Joseph is another great story in the Bible. Jesus had a dream. Did you know that? He lived with a dream. This is the way Jesus used to speak. I've been anointed to, I was sent to, his very clear dream in his heart. And God, He had a great vision for planet Earth. Beautiful sunsets, and they've been stunning lately. Has anyone noticed? Just fantastic sunsets. I love that. Ridiculous animals. Unbelievable animals. I can't wait to talk over the next couple of, few weeks with you. We're going to talk about vision, and we're going to talk about how we can change our minds and how your life changes completely by renovating your thinking. Because what they've now discovered recently in science is that inside the dendrites of your brain, all those nerve cells, there are little like columns that look like, because they can never see them before. And they're discovering that what God said all along, which is that you'll change by changing your thinking, that thinking actually deposits chemicals in your brain. It actually has a physical result. And that what they thought was untrue 30 years ago, which they're calling neuroplasticity, where they didn't think the brain could change. The brain does change. The brain does grow. And when you start to have a dream and vision, your mindset will begin to think and your actual physical experience will change according to what you start to see and what you dream. You've got to live with a dream. God had a dream. He wanted a planet. It was, the beginning it was all dark. But he said, I think I'll have a planet and I'll make all these beautiful sunsets. I'll make these mountains like the Himalayas. I'll make these oceans full of incredible animals. You seen that big Dumbo octopus thing that's right down the bottom? Has anyone watched David Attenborough or is that just me? They go right down to the deep. The San Marianas Trench, I think, is the deepest, just near the Philippines, 13 kilometres down. 13 miles? 13 kilometres, one or the other. And at the bottom, and they've hardly even got to the bottom, they see these animals. I mean, the pressure, we can't go down there. We've got these massive glass and metal things just to... And there's animals out there. There's a octopus-looking thing, but it's got Dumbo ears. It flaps with these Dumbo ears. They're seeing things they can't believe. And they say that we've discovered so far 3% of what's in our oceans. 3%. You imagine what's in that 97%. And God just thought, this is a good idea. I think I'll do this. But you know what the crowning glory of all God's creation? You. There's no one in all history that God loves any more than He loves you. He thinks you're awesome. But He put some things in place that make life work the way it's supposed to work. You do not have to live an ordinary life. You do not have to live subject to the circumstances. Nobody is making you do anything. You can live free, and you can live and dream a great dream, and that's what God wants you to do. I'm going to close here. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Here's a great verse in the Bible. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of people what God has prepared for those who love him. God's prepared amazing things for your life. And you might be sitting here and you mightn't even know God. You might say, well, I'm not even sure that God exists. But the wonder about God is that he's not actually a brain, he's a spirit. So even while your brain is processing everything and you're thinking, well, because I know I was exactly in that seat once. I remember as a young man thinking, I don't even know exactly what I believe about God, but something in my heart is telling me he's for real. And I took a step, you know, and trusted my heart, began to live a dream. Boy, it's taken some twists and turns I didn't expect. Anybody else ever been there? But this is what I know. The best years of my life are in front of me. The best years of your life are in front of you. And you can do everything about it by embracing and catching a dream. The best way to get a dream and get a vision, and I close just with a couple of thoughts. We're going to unfold this a little bit over the following weeks. Hang around people and places that have a dream. That's a big one. Just to be around people, and they'll stretch you, and they may drag you out of yourself, but it's important. Allow your heart and your mind to embrace the vision and the spirit that other people have around them. Let yourself go into it. Take down some of your walls. Ask yourself, what would you do? You can write this down. Ask yourself, what would you do if you weren't afraid? Because one of the biggest challenges that stops people dreaming is they're afraid. What would you do? If you weren't afraid, what would you do? And my last point there, believe in God's love for you and never, and I'm quoting Winston Churchill, a good British leader, never, never, never quit. Keep having a dream. Let's close our eyes for a minute and we're going to finish the service in about 1 minute, but this 1 minute's important. Just want you to close your eyes and I want you to take a minute to let your brain and your heart, your inside, engage a little in what we've talked about, because we've talked about really important things. And in a minute or so, everyone will be saying goodbye and we'll be clearing up and we'll be getting ready for another week. But right now, I want you to take a minute to think about what we've talked about, the dreams that are in your heart, the fact that God made you to dream and made you for a great life. The fact that the future is really very much in your hands and that he wants to help you and put a dream inside of you. Even while we're sitting here, some of you will be feeling a stirring of a dream and a sense that actually that's what I want to do with my life. And it's good to sit for a moment, just close our eyes and think about that. Just make a point. What am I going to dream? What am I going to see? It is true. Your life really was made to be magnificent. And while all our eyes are closed, now I'm just going to close in 30 seconds, but if there are any people here and they say, look, that makes sense to me, and that kind of God you're talking about, I don't think I've ever really met a God quite like that. You might have been confirmed, you might have been in church, you might never have been in church. It doesn't matter. If you'd like me just to meet you, pray with you, and connect you with God, which is what I love to do, what I'm made to do, then while all these eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I'd love it if you just slipped your hand up and kind of waved at me and said, that's me, I'd like you to pray with me. Just slip it up real quick and then I'll acknowledge it. God bless you, that's awesome. Is there anyone else here? Just slip up your hand real quick so that I can see it and then I'll acknowledge it. Yeah. And you can put it down again and we're going to pray and just get you moving for God in a wonderful way. Anyone else here at all? Just do that real quick. Wonderful. We're going to close, but I am going to pray for you now as a group. Father, I want to thank you for the potential that's in this room. I want to thank you for the dream you put in my heart to come from Australia and the love that you've given me for these beautiful people. I want to thank you that the love in my heart that you put there is not just for the people gathered here today, but it's for hundreds and thousands of people, and that together we're here to reach those beautiful lives and see most amazing miracles and lives turn around. I want to thank you, Father, that you speak to every person here. Touch their hearts and inspire a dream. This week, I want you to harass them nicely with the thought that they've got a life, a great life to live. They can begin to dream like never before. Thank you for doing it, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. You can look up at me. Thank you very much. Great day.